Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 11, 12, and 13. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, talking about the house of God, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Wonderful verses that describe, I think, what became the ministry of the Sunday school. Now, the Sunday school was established, you know, out of revival, really, out of the need for revival. And in the beginning of Sunday school days, 200 years ago in England, Sunday school started as an opportunity for children who were poor. Only those who were better off financially were able to go to school, and the poor were not able to go to school. And so there was a pastor, who determined that he was going to not only teach them the basics of reading and writing and arithmetic, but he was also going to teach them from the Word of God. And so actually Sunday school started out being Saturday school, Sabbath day school, and they taught them on Saturdays, sometimes in alleyways, different, and the Sunday school movement was a part of the revival that was beginning to start in England under the Wesley brothers and others that God used to raise up revival. And a part of it was the Sunday school movement that then, just as these other preachers and evangelists came to the United States, they also began to teach the importance of training every age group, all of them, from the youngest to the oldest, in the Word of the Lord. And the Sunday school was born, and it has been been foundational, really, for the church all these many years. But that's something that has changed. Something has changed in recent years, and that the Sunday school movement, many denominations, many churches have done away completely with the Sunday school. And they have a worship service, but they do not have the Sunday school classes and the opportunity for the different groups. Now, they most of them have something that they have developed, but as far as actually operating a Sunday school, there's a very large percentage of churches in the country now that don't do that. You know, and so there are some problems with Sunday school. But I believe just as it was born out of revival, that Sunday school will succeed in the spirit of revival. But if there's no real move of God, then the Sunday school is going to be weak. It's going to fail. It's not going to have the impact that it has had and that it can have. And so the problem that is typical in lots of places, a lot of people have come to the conclusion, well, if people are not interested in Sunday school and it's not effective and we're not teaching all the age groups the Word of the Lord, then maybe we should just give up on the whole idea of Sunday school. Now, I believe that every problem has to be, it has to be weighed by the Word of God, and also by the historical success as a tool that God has used. So we see historically that Sunday school has been such a powerful thing that to discard it would be something that you would really, really have to know that you were hearing, that this is what God wants you to do if you were going to do away with Sunday school. I, for one, believe in the power of it, and was personally affected by the teaching of the major Bible stories of the Old Testament and the New Testament, all from the time that I was first taken to church as a four-year-old little boy. I remember each one of my Sunday school teachers. My first one, I thought she was older. I was 4 years old. She was 16 years old. And I thought she was an older lady because I was so little. But she impacted my life, even though I was a little child. Other teachers along the years were great influences in my life. One man that was a teacher, I've told about this before, he was so determined to keep the interest of the boys. Now, that age group is not an easy group. 9 years old, 10-year-old boys, they'd rather be doing a whole lot of other things other than sitting still and listening to a story. It's very hard for kids that age and to keep their attention. He was determined to keep our attention and was constantly doing things to try to motivate us and to encourage us to hear the word of God. He even built a sandbox in the middle of the floor, we all would gather around the perimeter of that sandbox, and he told all the stories of the children of Israel going through the wilderness and acted them out in that sandbox for us. It made it so real. It made it so interesting, and that he kept our attention. I'll never forget some of the things that were done and those stories that really touched my life, impacted my life as just a young boy, and of course just his interest in us and concern for us was something. Because of my own personal experiences, I don't believe that it would be the will of God that we give up on Sunday school, but instead that we see the value of it and we ask God to send revival to the Sunday school. Amen. Every problem, and since this, you know, what we experience here with Sunday school down as far as numbers and attendance are concerned, what we are experiencing, just know that this is typical all over the country. This is what's happening. But that doesn't mean that it's a sign that, well, maybe we just need to give up on this because of the great opportunity that Sunday school gives to us. Every problem is, someone said, who was it? That every problem is really just an opportunity well disguised. And it's true. It's true that most of the problems that we face, we need to ask the Lord. Lord, give us solutions. Give us answers. And help us, Lord, to speak to this generation the word of the Lord, and help us to get the word of God into the hearts of these children, young people, all ages. Notice that in verse 13, it says, and that their children which have not known anything. Doesn't that describe a generation today who don't know much about the Bible? I know someone who is a youth pastor. He noticed that his children didn't know the Bible, just the basic Bible stories, didn't know about David and Goliath, didn't know about the three Hebrew children, didn't know about Daniel in the lion's den, didn't know even just these basic Bible stories. And so he was able to influence his church to start back with classes to teach the children the word of God, and to get these stories into their heart because they'll stay with them all of their life. And Jesus used stories, and all throughout the scripture, there's just one story that is given, and the scripture says all of these are written for an example for us. They're all written so that we'll be implanted in our heart And it'll stay with us all the days of our life. Amen. So just because there are problems and challenges with Sunday school, and just because major denominations are struggling and just kind of giving up, that doesn't mean that that's the answer. I believe that in our particular case here, the answer is a renewed spirit of revival and a burden for every age group that walks in the door of this building. Amen. Now, we're very blessed here in a lot of ways. And one particular way that we're blessed is that we have had good leaders as far as leadership in the Sunday school department for a lot of years. Just until this last election, Brother James Hacker has been the Sunday school superintendent. Hardly nobody except now Brother Darrell knows all that he did behind the scenes. People didn't see it. They didn't know what he was doing, his effort, his dedication to that, and his prayer, and his determination to see it succeed. And but I have witnessed it over the years. And now Brother Darrell has taken the same type of a burden. He was the perfect person for Brother James's replacement in that leadership of the Sunday school. Has the same kind of a interest. He's here on Saturday evening getting things ready. He's concerned that everything is prepared and ready for the Sunday school. And all I can say is praise God. And every time I see him come in here, I just think, thank God that here's a man who is really concerned about the Sunday school. Amen. So we're blessed with leadership, and he's just, you know, catching hold and doing wonderful in his seventh or eighth week of being superintendent. And so we've been blessed, and we are blessed as far as that is concerned, someone with leadership. We're blessed here with facilities. I mean, I just mentally went through to determine how many areas that we have here that we could actually have classes in. At least 18 areas that we could hold Sunday school classes in this building. That is a lot. I think that right now we have about half that number of Sunday school classes. About 9, I think, Sunday school classes. And we've got all of this room, and how blessed that we are. And I believe it is the will of God that we revive it, and the rooms are revived, and God raises up teachers with a burden to commit themselves to it and to see God work. Now, here, as I've been thinking and praying about this, I believe one thing that the Lord impressed me with about the Sunday school classes, and that is if we will thoroughly prepare ourselves for them, God will begin to send them in. If we prepare ourselves for them, God will begin to send the hungry hearts right into our midst here and into our classes. So facilities is not a problem. Leadership is not a problem. Some people face those kind of problems. Another problem that they face, many Sunday schools, they can't get funding for it. They can't get enough money. Now that happens to be a problem. Sunday school materials have shot up, and printing costs have shot up. And so we are ordering lesser materials than maybe we did 10 years ago because the Sunday school is smaller. But we're spending as much or more money now on Sunday school materials. It shouldn't be that way. We should be able to easily finance the ministry of the Sunday school. And I believe that God will provide through Sunday school. I've mentioned this in the Bible class several times, whenever we would have a need for additional funds, that the dollar is what everybody was giving in Sunday school 30 years ago, 35 years ago. And we still drop the dollar in, and everything has gone up. And so the dollar, thank God if that's all you got, but dollar's not enough. Amen. We need two or three or four or five. Or more. And I know that a lot of times Marcia's in a different place than I'm at during Sunday school. And so sometimes I'll say, well, did you give something in the offering? She said, yeah, I gave this. And I'm thinking, you gave that much? And I gave this much? Wow. I think we might be overdoing it. No, not really. Not really. Amen. Give to the Sunday school. Give to the Sunday school materials and supplies and things that can better the classes, to update the classes, to encourage the kids to come and the youth to come. And then ask the Lord to help you. We do live in an age of great technology. And so it may be that some of these things would be available to you that you could use to really make the lesson even more effective. And so consider that as a possibility that the Lord may want to cause the offering in the Sunday school to increase to a much greater level so that we can see some things added to the Sunday school that need to be added to the Sunday school. Of course, Brother James is, you know, he's very technology oriented. And so he's doing all kinds of things. One thing that he's doing is that he is texting and emailing all these potential. If he gets a hold of their email or their phone number, he's driving them crazy to come to Sunday school and to come to youth service, because young people need reminders and they need motivation. And so is he ever doing it? And it's working. It's working. He's having an impact upon that age group. So he's using technology, which sometimes can be used for evil. He's using it to motivate, to encourage, and to enhance the teaching of the young people in that class. He has a concern for it, a burden for it. He puts lots of time and hours into preparation for that class. Every teacher can do the same thing. I know that Brother Bright, he starts on Monday morning and studies every day in preparation and in prayer. And so that's why that we're blessed in that class, and there's a wonderful anointing that's in that class, and it can touch the lives of people, and it is doing that. Amen. Glory to God. So the question, should we give up on Sunday school, is absolutely not. But we should see the problem of decreased attendance as an opportunity to turn this problem around and to see God begin to work in the ministry of the Sunday school. You know, if something doesn't get regular attention, and that's what we're doing tonight, if something doesn't get regular attention, it begins to decay. That's the nature of everything in life. If you let things go at your house, if you let things go at your car, basically anything that you have or you own that requires some attention and some maintenance and some upkeep, and if you just ignore it, it's not going to get better. It's not going to improve on its own. It requires a focused, determined effort to see it changed. Amen. And so the Sunday school class here, the Bible class that has somewhere 30 to 40 in here on Sunday morning, let me tell you, that this class could just explode with growth if we're determined. All of us, we're focusing on this and we're determined to see it happen. Why? Why should we try to fix the Sunday school or maintain it or improve it? Four reasons. Number one, it is the reaching arm of the church. The Sunday school provides a way for you to reach out to people and to bring them. You can bring folks to church, but classes that are a little smaller than the entire service give you a little bit more of a personal, intimate time, a time where questions can be asked.
where you can get involved. You can know visitors' names. You can just personally involve yourself with them. It's an opportunity to reach people. How many times do we have services on Sunday morning where we'll say, who was that couple that was sitting back there? They came in late and they left early. I didn't get their name. I don't know who they were. But in a Sunday school class, we have opportunity, a lot better opportunity, to get around to people and to encourage them and to get to know them. And of course, we need to do it in the service as well. But it's a reaching arm of the church. The Sunday school is a reaching arm of the church. And I encourage you to make this a real matter of prayer. Number two, it's the teaching arm of the church. The Sunday school is the opportunity that we have to indoctrinate all age groups. They'll be afraid of that word because it just simply means to teach them the principles of God's word. Amen. And they need to know it. They need to know. The verse here says, children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Amen. Let me tell you, it makes a difference in your life. I was a junior in high school. I was not at all where I needed to be with the Lord. And another friend of mine that was in this, I believe it was an English class with me, also actually went to church with me, but he was worse off than I was. I mean, he was more backslid than I was. I had a little more of my foot in the church than he did. And but we were in this class, and the teacher announced, we're going to have an impromptu test today, and this test is on your knowledge of the Bible. I thought, well, that's interesting. And he passed out a test with maybe 50 questions, 40 or 50 questions about the Bible. My friend that was in Sunday school classes with me all my life, even though that nobody knew that him or I were really church guys, we were trying to disguise ourselves in the public classroom. But on that day when the test was given, guess who were the only two people that made 100%? Me and my backslidden friend. Everybody else, they didn't know. They didn't know the stories. The entire class didn't know simple little basic things about the Bible. Where did I learn it? Sunday school. I learned it in Sunday school. It was taught from the time I was 4 years old. Different classes, different groups. Some lady teachers, some men teachers. I was taught the Word of God, and I grew up to be a high school junior, and I knew a lot about the Bible. And I can remember even when I went to Bible school that there were some who came to Bible school that hadn't had the same kind of a background that I did. And some of the things about the Bible that were so commonplace to me, they didn't know anything about them. And I remember how interesting it was. I remember Brother Clendenin say many times when some young people would say to him, he had the experience of sending kids off to Bible school and they would backslide at Bible school. And so he just decided, and you probably have heard him say this, he would say to some young person who said, I feel like I'm called to the ministry, what Bible school do you recommend? He said, that front seat right there. That front seat, that's what I recommend. Get on the front seat. He said, and we'll preach and we'll teach and you'll get indoctrinated in the Word of the Lord. And let me tell you, there are a lot of people, a lot of preachers, a lot of young men who came out from under that ministry who are touching people's lives all over the world today because they were taught the Word of God in their home church. We have a responsibility to teach children who don't know anything about the things of the Lord. Now, it is a dangerous thing to just indoctrinate them and let them know about the Bible without them being converted. And so I think that all Sunday school teachers, your goal from the very beginning is how that I can pray for this child or for this young person that not only will they learn the Bible, but first of all, that they will be born again, really born again of the Spirit, get saved in Sunday school classes, so that then the Word of God will not be just a story, but it will have a personal application to their life, and they'll understand it and what it means as far as their spiritual life is concerned. It's the reaching arm of the church. It's the teaching arm of the church. It's the caring arm of the church. In the Sunday school, we are to take notice of those that are not in our class, and what we do on Wednesday night is we're practicing this to a certain degree, but actually every Sunday school teacher and the members of that class can actively get involved in being as an extension of the role of the pastor, that you also are concerned about the sheep and you're watching and you're looking and you're caring about them and you want to minister to them and help them. Amen. I was doing some checking on Kay Johnson's car, and I'd been out, you know, trying to find out some situations to try to help her get her problem solved. When I got back, I checked my email and I had an email from Nyla, who is saying, do you have any contact information for Kay Johnson? I've noticed she's not been here for a couple of Sundays, and I want to try to reach her and encourage her to come. That's what I'm talking about. It's a caring ministry. You get involved. You're concerned about what people are going through and the needs that they have, and you look for ways that God can use you to try to minister to people who have needs. Amen. That's the reaching or the caring ministry that can take place in the Sunday school. Let me tell you, if teachers get a burden, it's incredible what can happen. My mother was a fairly new convert, and the pastor came to her and said, I'd like you to teach the junior girls. She said, I've never been a teacher before. I don't know how to do that. So he said, well, we'll give you some opportunities to be trained and to work with another teacher, and then you can become a teacher yourself in the Sunday school. So she eventually became the junior girl Sunday school teacher. And I think, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 girls was in that class. My mom started working. Everywhere that she was around town, that she would see a little girl that looked like that she might be in that age, she would strike up a conversation with them and say, you know, I'm the teacher at this church over here, and you would be in my class. And she started working this Sunday school class. And that class turned from 4 or 5 to 20-some in a matter of a few months. That little class, it was just overfilled with little girls. She took some time. She prayed for them. She was caring about their souls, and it just exploded with growth. Heard me tell about Jerry Falwell when he was in Bible school, young man, before he ever pastored, that he was going to a church in the city where he was going to Bible college, and the pastor said, would you take the 9-year-old boy Sunday school class? And this was, he was a college student. And so he took this small little class of 9-year-old boys, and he started working. He would go to the parks and look for little boys in that age group. Now, this day and time, you're going to have to be careful how you handle that. But there's a right way and a proper way to approach even families in this day and time when people are very concerned about their families and trying to protect them. But he went to parks. He tried every opportunity to reach little boys, to be in his 9-year-old Sunday school class. It started to grow, and it grew, and it grew. And over a 2-year period of time, by the time that he was graduating from Bible school to go out into ministry, he had over 100 9-year-old boys in his Sunday school class. Let me tell you, it works. You get a burden for it. You start working it. You start reaching out. You start praying, asking the Lord, give us increase. Give us souls. Give us children. Give us young ones. Give us every age group. Bring us families, Lord, that are hungry for the things of God in every age group. The 9 classes that we have now should become 18 at least, since we have the room available, space available for classes. It needs to expand to the point that we have every part of the building that God has given to us filling up with people being taught the Word of God. Let's not give up on Sunday school. Let's not lose heart. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? And how can I play a part in this to lead these Bible students to the Lord, to instruct them in the Word of God, to care for them, to watch over them, to have a ministry that is caring and reaching and touching as many as we possibly can for the glory of God. Amen. Should we give up on the Sunday school? No, not at all. But instead, we should begin to pray. If you're not already, we need to pray. Lord, would you turn the problem of Sunday school attendance being down? Would you turn it into a vehicle of revival? Would you use it, Lord, just as you did in its founding days, 200 years plus ago? It came out of need. It was born out of revival. It spread from England all over this country. It was a revival movement, and it can be now. Amen. What will happen if we give up on the Sunday school? Much of the teaching and the indoctrination that is so important in the Word of God will be lacking. It will be lacking. If we give up on the Sunday school, the church will be weaker, 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 weaker. It won't be as biblically sound and strong as it needs to be if we give up on Sunday school. If we give up on it, then we're throwing away opportunities to influence people to know Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. So let's not give up on it. Amen. But instead, let's ask the Lord. Lord, would you help us, each of us, to accept a responsibility and to care about every one of these groups, every one of these children individually. I noticed, you see, if you start visiting and like on the bus routes, when you start seeing a few new come in, it's inevitable. I've seen it over the years. This always happens, that there is one that comes in, like one that came in on Sandy's route a week or two ago, that, I mean, they're ready to climb the walls. They are climbing the walls. I mean, they're off the wall. Just, you know, just so unruly. And many times, that very person, as hard and difficult as they are, many times they are a key. They're a key to God doing something in that family and even in Sunday school and on that bus route. As difficult as it is, that problem, many times it is an opportunity. Doesn't seem like an opportunity. It seems like a difficult and a challenging situation. I don't mean to seem that it's seem like I'm saying that it's an easy thing or that it's not a problem. It is. It's difficult. But I'm telling you that God, I've witnessed this many times over the years, God working even in some that don't know not one thing about God, and they don't even know how to act in church, and they're just so unruly and so difficult. I'm telling you, God can turn that person around for the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord.